Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday and earlier in the day. Check out the show at 1 p.m. Keeping It Brief. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft of Song Art with Richard and Double and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, split between Gray Eyes Howling at the Mood in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you his brand of Bad Company, and Exploring Exphasia with Captain B and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a walk on the wild side on Tuesday. join Jeremy as he brings you the headliners ball on Thursday, break on through with Pam on Friday. Join Aphasian and Babbler as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Pam.
Hello, Rex.
What's doing?
So, not much. Just getting ready and looking forward to hanging out with you and other cool poets and, delving into some awesome music-inspired poetry. So, it's all good. Had some nice, cool weather today. Nothing real exciting happening, but, just kind of a good, peaceful day. So, and how about you?
I'm doing just fine. This ought to be some fun. Oh, and check out the lineup for the end of the month when we get into Halloween week. That ought to be a load of fun.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Halloween week. It will definitely be fun. And, people can check out, all the different shows and contests that are up right now for Halloween week. And, very cool. So, go ahead and tell us about the Doobie Brothers.
Well, it all started with drummer John Hartman arriving in California in 1969. He was looking to meet Skip Spence of Moby Grape and looking to kind of a join in the Moby Grape reunion, which never happened. But Spence introduced Hartman to a singer, guitarist, and songwriter, Tom Johnston, and the two proceeded to form the nucleus of what would become the Doobie Brothers. They mucked around San Jose under their fledgling group called PUD. And they took on another guitarist, their bass guitarist, Patrick Simmons, in 1970, and added in a couple more of people after that. But they were into a mix. Rock, soft rock, folk, R&B, country, and a little bit of soul music as well. They got together. They came across, they were playing around with names, but nobody could think up a name. And one of their friends, a guy named Keith Rosen, who lived with them or next door, came up with the band after the band had difficulty coming up with one of their own. According to Tom Johnston, Rosen said, "Why don't you call yourself the Doobie Brothers? Because you're always smoking pot." And there started the name and the trend. Doobies were big through the 70s. Johnston officially retired in 77. And he rejoined the group in 82. He was having health problems. But the group disbanded in 82. Then got together again in 87, and they've been playing even up to this day because they're on tour once more. And I think it's Patrick Simmons. He's the only founding member who's actually played on every one of their albums because they've had many lineup changes over the past 50-plus years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have to say, I don't really know their music that well, but from what I've listened to from your contest, I could tell that they definitely have a variety of different influences in their sound.
Oh, yeah, you look at I think it's Black Waters, definitely more or less a country tune, and that was their biggest hit, despite everything else they had going on through over the years. Black Water was what everybody enjoyed listening to.
Very cool. Very cool. And that's always neat to learn how a band got their name. It's always fun to hear the background stories.
Well, California's California. They grow everything up there.
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly. yeah, but yeah, I like their sound, and very cool. So yeah, and how many records have they produced in their career length?
I think altogether, including live albums, they've got 16 records that they put out over the 50 years.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that I get the appeal of live albums, but I've always had trouble with them just because I have trouble with hearing the cheering and stuff on top of the music. Like, it's too many sounds for me. But, you know, that's just my personal taste. But I definitely get the appeal, and, you know, especially for people who, you know, I really enjoy the concert experience.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you whistling at a bird or something, or is a bird whistling at you?
I'm trying to toss the dog out.
Ah, okay.
All right.
But great choices tonight, Rex.
I gather you've seen the lineup and how it works.
I have seen the lineup because, you know, me and Phil, we're good at that whole, like, communicating thing, and I know exactly how it works. So there you go. All right. So with that being said, before we continue on with our poetry, I'm going to go ahead and play the song What a Fool Believes, unless you'd like to tell me to do otherwise.
Nope, because the next couple of pieces are come up right off that song, so that sits right in the wheelhouse.
I know exactly how it works, Rex, and if I do have any questions, I promise I'll ask. All right, so here we go.
2, 1. Rises to anybody else would surely know he's watching her go.
So are we ready for the next first poem?
Yep.
All right, then. Up next, we have, or up first, we have What a Fool Believes by Dammit Dave. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Oh, okay. As soon as you decide to come on. I guess I go to shortcut. All right, now's a fine time for you to keep updating. Come on.
Is your internet giving you problems?
Yeah, everything's slow, real slow.
Oh, yeah, that happens. Well, we'll just wait for it to be slow. That's all right.
This is ridiculous.
You might have to end up, like, shutting down your phone and turning it back on or something, like, once you're done with the show. Well, no, that's... Oh, well... Really? I don't lose everything on my phone if I shut it down and turn it back on. But
if I shut it down and turn it back on, the internet goes off, the phone goes off, and I have to reboot everything.
Right, right. Well, I didn't mean like during the show. I meant, you know, like Pee-wee says too much of the doobies slowed your shit up.
I wish I had a doobie so I could make that effort of making a claim.
Well,
come on.
I'll go ahead if you prefer. I can go ahead and read this one, unless it's pretty close.
Oh, crap. Now what? Yeah, go ahead and read
all
it.
All right, well.
What the hell?
Surely, no problem. No problem. All right. What a Fool Believes by Dammit Dave. And it goes like this. I used to laugh at what some fools believe. Their lack of logic made me shake my head. I found it very vexing to conceive the fairy tale existence that they had led. But then I fell in love and I could see that reason and good sense had fallen through. And then I learned that fool, alas, was me because I found she didn't love me too. I thought that she would love me in return, but what a tangled web that Cupid weaves. It was a brutal lesson I would learn. Now I don't laugh at what a fool believes. End poem. And
great reading.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And as always, Damn It Dave has wonderful rhyme and flow. He's, you know, he's spot on with his take of the prompt. Oftentimes what I've come to learn with Dave's poetry is he puts in those little lessons that life teaches us, like the idea how he covers in the first stanza that the, you know, laughing at other people that are fools and then realizing that you're not completely immune yourself and that there's something about the way love makes you feel that turns you into a complete idiot, especially when it's unrequited. I really liked that he put in the lines, "What a tangled web that Cupid weaves." I thought that was a really great line. And the whole idea that it's not just, love isn't just a straight shot with the arrows. It's a web woven. So excellent right here, Damn It Dave. Very well done.
Yeah, it's one of those lessons you never learn until it slaps you in the face, because you always say, that'll never happen. Your ego speaks where your mind and heart cannot deliver the notion on that. And, hey, you might be walking through life logical and persevere on that note until it does come up and give you a swift kick in the ass and say, hey, you know what? You just got boinked. And you ain't getting nothing out of it because she don't care about you anyway. So you picked the wrong one. You noticed her. You thought she was the one, and you got disappointed. So that's where that tangled web with the Cupid comes in very nicely. And he makes this personal by using I, because it's a lesson everybody learns. It's universal. Nicely done, Dave.
Absolutely. I like what you had to say, Rex, about how, you know, when you think somebody's the one and then you get slapped upside the head and that you point out how he makes it personal. I think that's some of the best kind of poetry, is when people make it personal. So very cool comment. All right.
Let's go next.
All right. Up next, we have Not Even the Fool Knows What He Believes and Certainly Doesn't Know. I am not seeing. Let me check that. Okay. Let me try this again. Not Even the Fool Knows What He Believes and Certainly Doesn't Know He's a Fool by Liquid Mind Forever. And Rex, go ahead when you're ready and give that a read.
There lives a man, some say, a prophet. An anachronism who speaks of truth, speaks of a kingdom within. This man stands among many, most be jesters, clowns, fools. And what be a fool, you ask me? Perhaps the blithering idiot who strums his lips, drips cruel drool, gruel, avoids rules, understands not universal schools, the fool. A mindless creature debates hours, day and night, a soul descrying, a wise man with hands of light and words of insight. Though wise men know it's useless to approach the fool in throes of madness, nevertheless, he must persist, enlists many, entreats many, encourages the few to think for themselves, a foreign land among fools. Who be the fools? From where do they come? What makes them fools? Another man, some confused with the first man, teaches a different lesson. We can choose again, the happy dream or the nightmare. Teaches, there's no difference, no hierarchy of thought, neither be reality, neither be his home. Teaches, all brothers must come home, together or not at all. The fool knows not, understands not, frightened, turns against the wise man, exposes, proposes, deposes, reposes in his confidence, fear, but the wise man must persist, although he knows no fool can resist the throes of madness. Fools know not their rightful home, know not of their inheritance, understands not frightened, turns his back on the wise man, who comes like a cooling breeze. And thus, we, the proverbial fools, destroy the wise man. Aftermath. We sit scouting this scripture, denying we are the fools, to feed our greed, our need to exceed. We proceed as waterways and food resources recede. We try to sell our deed, indeed, but do we concede or blame the inane, ashamed at their bane? We disdain while weak explain, persist and die, ghoulish fools, afraid we're going to hell. Ha! We live in hell, sweet cakes, not going to it. We are it. We're in a cell, fools together. Is there no exit but for the wise man who cannot convince a fool he's dreaming? And Paul. All right, Pam.
Great. Bear Rex. Yeah, you know, it's always fun and interesting to me to see how different people take the same prompt. I like how this has a strong social commentary. It takes a deep look at spirituality and, you know, delves into the question of what is a fool and shows us the sad answer that, you know, as much as we'd like to think that those we know and even ourselves are not the fools, sometimes we truly are. You know, and especially when it comes to following people, following, you know, oftentimes it's the fool that we follow that makes us fools. And, you know, I really like, of course, the spacing that she has, the playing staggering of the stanzas. I like how she brings in an idea of a couple different prophets, you know, like it makes you think of Christ and Gandhi, is it? And I can't remember who else, but all the different major prophets of the different religions. Let's see here. I really like the happy dream. We can choose again. The happy dream or the nightmare teaches there's no difference, no hierarchy of thought, neither be reality, neither be his home, teaches all brothers must come home together or not at all. I like how that speaks on the idea of nurturing our fellow man, of being there for our fellow man, but also makes me kind of think of the idea of brothers gone off to war together. I also like how she played with the word we, like had it as we, W-E, and we, W-E-E, as in small, as in, you know, perhaps part of what makes us as a fool is that our thoughts are so small. And really great way to wrap this up in the idea that not only do we misjudge who the fools actually are, but we misjudge what is actually hell. Hell is, as she says, what we live in. Afraid we're going to hell, ha, we live in hell, sweet cakes. Not going to it, we are it. You know, I like that she capitalized it, almost like the movie Stephen King's It. And she may not have meant it that way, but that's what it makes me think of. And so because she did that, because in that book, in that movie, it always transformed into people's greatest fears. It's almost like the idea that hell is us living right now in this moment in our greatest fears. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And yes, the we with the extra E could elicit itself as small, but it also could walk at the thought of coincidence with the many, as in we the people, we all the people concede or blame the inane, ashamed at their bane. We the same, the multitudes offering up that note of many walking the same path. So I think the biteness is one, the determining note or the annotation for our own demise. Because if you follow any course based on a singularity, then you are not actually applying a criticality of thought and some measure of, well, if I do this, how does it walk outside this realm? Does it make sense to follow this to the letter? Does it even make sense to follow it at all? But the idea of critical thinking, you might come across something that you like and you believe in that, it's one thing. But if you're going to follow it to the point of all else being lost on the wayside, then there's nothing that helps when you find something that falls in between those thoughts, those ideas, those principles. And you're often left with holding the bag because all of a sudden everything else falls apart because you're stumped. You're stuck in the moment. So the idea, I think, with this from Liquid is the take what you will from everything, incorporate into your mind, digest it down to everything that you find worthy within, and walk with those values, not just someone.
I like that. And you know, I think that's some great words of wisdom, is to take tidbits from everything that you read, everything you can possibly learn from, and help it to form your own inner wisdom and knowledge. So very cool. I also like the phrase, standing out in left field, holding the bag.
That's usually the, it's usually that 5 pound bag with 10 pounds of shit in it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Very true. Very true. All right. Well, our next poem is The Perfect Fool by Muse Stalker. And it goes like this. He has loved so many women, they all start off as flawless in his eyes. Yet in everyone, he soon begins to note the tiny imperfections, the subtle faults and foibles marring them, convincing him that as a couple, they are too ill-matched to make it work. Still, he only leaves when he's discovered too many defects not to despise each broken woman by the end. Parting as friends can't be an option. Someone must be the villain in a tale of failed love, he is certain. One ideal woman still exists for him, lodged like a fly in amber. Even after all these lonely years in the deepest channels of his shuttered heart and somehow unblemished by his fear and self-conceit, he daydreams a shared love that never was and believes someday she'll come back to him. If only he had found a way to make her stay. She was different. She was the one. And if she wasn't, he could have discovered flaws, learned she was too broken for him. He could put haunting memories of her aside with a sigh and carry on his search for the quintessential elusive her. He will never admit defeat of his dreams, so the fool believes the lie his ego builds. Theirs is a love story writ in the stars, and he knows she'll be his someday. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. Yes, he is. What he doesn't really understand or realize is she created who he now is, that that beast that sees all the flaws, the foibles, the scars, the little touches of and nuances that he can't stand, which pushes him away from these other women eventually. But he still holds that note that lodged like a fly in amber, that note to who the one woman was that got away. And he still doesn't understand why, but still hopes that she'll come back to him. And that makes him the ultimate fool, because he's carrying on an elusive, illicit dream, and she helped create the one he now lives. So what bigger fool is that?
Absolutely. Well said there, Rex. Yeah, I like this, right? I thought at first it was going to be a rhyming poem, and then I realized it wasn't, but it was a beautiful pre-verse poem. I like that she put the picture of the fool card with this. You know, I thought this was a wonderful write on kind of that made me think of the saying of like a double-edged sword or double-edged knife. You know, the whole idea of how, you know, you find what you look for. You know, you look for the flaws and so you find them. You compare every relationship to that one where the woman was so-called perfect. And nobody can ever live up to those expectations. It also kind of makes me think of how some guys are like that with their mothers, how no women can, you know, ever like, you know, stand up to the expectations that they have because they see their mothers as perfect. I thought this was a great take on the prompt. I did like the imagery of where she says, one ideal woman still exists for him, lodged like a fly in amber, even after all these lonely years. I thought lodged like a fly in amber was a really good metaphor to describe something that is not able to be touched, but perfectly preserved. I also really liked the lines, you know, that he could put haunting memories of her aside with a sigh and carry on her search for the quintessential elusive her. And I like that he put her, she put her in quotations marks. So at this point, the idea that it doesn't really matter who the woman is, except for that they have to reach his perfect expectations. So excellent write and very well done. All right.
Go one down. Otherwise you're gonna be reading this one too. So go one down and come back for that one.
Oh, so you want me to play Listen to the Music?
Yes, then come back to the another part.
Okay. That works. All right. So we'll go ahead and play Listen to the Music by the Doobie Brothers. Sorry, not boys. All right.
Don't feel it growing, baby.
Different, but yeah, I mean, I liked the sound, but it was definitely a bit different. But cool. And up next we have Summer Concert Series 2022 by Alchemist. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
My brother and I took a ride to Bethel Woods to listen to some music. Bonded by Woodstock, Altamont, and Monterey Pop, we packed our bags and blasted the yacht rock. We saw the Doobie Brothers first, Michael McDonald almost burst, banging ballads, rocking rhythms on the keys. We danced and sang, the thunder rang, we rocked regardless with most of the original Doobies. The next night was more mellow, Steely Dan chilled the air. The jazzy vibe was so alive, I could feel Borsavata shake my hand. Listening to the music inspired us, so we booked another show. We went to the boardwalk to see Boss Skaggs. Pleasantly surprised, we discovered he's the coolest white guy we know. Much more than Lido Shuffle, his old school blues was like a rich, creamy, dark chocolate truffle. If I'm wrong, baby, tell me right. The summer was waning, our wallets were straining, but listening to the music made us sore. We ignored the bills, went for the thrills, and decided to do one more. Santana headlining Earth, Wind, and Fire fueled our desire to travel back to the beginning of the tour. The night was warm. The moon was full. We inhaled sweet smoke wafting in the air. We reclined on the lawn where 53 years before Santana sacrificed his soul to the gods of rock and roll, and their beautiful Richey Havens set everyone free. I danced in the haze, already missing the days my brother and I gazed, amazed at real-life legends and the memories made as we listened to the music and poem.
Great read there, Rex. Oh, I really liked this one. First of all, I enjoy and appreciate Alchemist's writing. I'd like to have her call in some night. I know she's called in before to the Keeping It Brief show. And she's a really great commenter, good insight into poetry. You know, I always like poems that pay tribute to music as a whole and to what they mean to someone's personal memories and to a connection between family and friends. She really drops some great names in here, Steely Dan, Boz Scaggs, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Santana. I mean, all just really great names. I really enjoy the nostalgic vibe that this has. I particularly like the lines, the summer was waning, our wallets were straining, but listening to the music made us sore. We ignored the bills, went for the thrill, and decided to do one more. I like how that talks about living in the moment, you know, about saying, hey, you know what, let's just get the thrills of the moment in, build those memories, although at the time you're probably not even thinking of it as building memories, but you really are, you know. And so that and the ending stanza, I danced in the haze, already missing the days. My brother and I gazed amazed at real life legends. Can you imagine just, I mean, well, no, you just look back and realize that you were, or even in the moment you could be realizing that you're in right in the presence of like rock gods and legends. So excellent write here and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. It's a great trip back in time. You know, bonded by Woodstock, Altamont, and Monterey Pop. That's some great times back there from 67 to 69. And first day seeing the Doobie Brothers, and Michael McDonald still playing, and going back and hitting the night, getting Steely Dan. Great thought to that night itself, then see Boss Skaggs the next night. And there was some, what was it? Of course, Santana. But she hit on the sort of a yacht rock, that soft rock, yet had a catchy beat and easy listening lyrics to flow with it. So it made for a mellow day. But she hit on, there was one more. What was that? Listening to oh, bloody hell. And even though it was straining their wallets, they didn't dare ignore the fact that, hey, there's more to be seen. I mean, Paris, Wind and Fire, Santana, and then that thought of, oh, yeah, the night was warm, the moon was full, we inhaled sweet smoke wafting in the air. So we go full circle. Now the Doobies are coming right back into it with a different flavor. And I danced in the haze, a note to Jimi Hendrix and his appearance at Woodstock in 69. And also, Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days with that thought. Already missing a day, my brother and I gazed amazed at real life legends and the memories made as we listened to the music. There's, you can catch these guys, you catch them now, because unfortunately, we're at that age, which puts them past our age, and they are slowly departing this world for other realms. And if you don't catch them now, all you're going to have to remember them by is the CDs or the old records. So if they're coming around, go see them.
All right. And up next, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the song Another Park, Another Sunday by the Doobie Brothers. And here we go. awesome song there. I really like the upbeat feel to that one.
That's what they call, that's what is referred to as yacht rock. The catchy little beat, lyrics are easy, and it's an easy tune to dance to.
You know, it's funny. I've actually learned something new because I had never actually heard the terminology yacht rock before. So, huh. You know, I read that in the poem, and before you said something, I thought, well, must just be the kind of music you play on your yacht. But what do you know? Very cool.
Well,
learned something new.
We're talking about the big cruise ships that host these rock and roll parties.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
yeah,
basically...
You go out for a week, and they've got various bands that play all week long on the cruise ships.
Oh, wow. And usually they have specific kind of music that they have on there, like really upbeat stuff?
Well, they'll roll a bunch of musicians will come on and play. I forget who's done it. But they'll do like a 50s cruise or a 60s, 70s cruise. So you get the flavor, whatever bands they can get a hold of to come and perform.
Oh, okay. So like a 50s cruise would be like maybe like Elvis, the Everly Brothers, that kind of stuff. Cool. Oh, that sounds like a neat idea. The cruise I've always wanted to go on is the Alaskan cruise and go do some whale watching. I think that would be really cool. And I don't think they would combine that with music, but that's always been the cruise that I wanted to go on. And if I went on a cruise that had music, I think it would definitely be like 60s and 70s music that I would totally get into for a cruise. So,
all right, let's pick up on the next one. Well, the one for this piece.
What's that?
Let's pick up on the piece for this music.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes, absolutely. Moving on to the piece that was inspired by that song, we have Lonely Beaches by Betty Page. And... I'm sorry, I just have to say, Pee-wee says he wants to go on a Nantucket sleigh ride. Okay, now that I'm done laughing at that. All right, Lonely Beaches by Betty Page. I'm sitting near the shore, just gazing out my windows as I wonder where you're gone, reminisce all those happy hours just before the dawn. Inside, my rain's cascading. I scream to say, come home again. Why have you gone? Lonely streets, Pacific highways. I'm winding down. My car is now empty as my stereo plays songs that get me down. I'm just trying to find you, your sexy lips that I must get into. So true, just lost without you. Another lonely beach, a stormy Sunday. Why did our life turn out this way? Just when we thought we'd got the real thing, we just seemed to run away. Sun's out again. Blue skies above me. I'm low. Just need some place where I can hide. I keep this to myself. I don't want no one else. Just don't see me cry. These tears still in my eyes. No lover, our lonely Sunday. Why did our life turn out this way? Just when we think we've got the real thing, life just runs away. Our lonely beach, another Sunday, so dark, so empty. Thanks to me, I've got to get myself together. Just so hard to do. End poem.
Great beat, Dan. And it seems that Betty followed the song itself. I'd have to go mash this up with the original. But it kind of hits that on that note of a parody. I don't know if it's a perfect parody, but that doesn't matter at this point because she hits that right. I'm sitting near the shore, just gazing out my windows. So you've got the opening right up. And then the short lines, where have you gone? I'm winding down. and other lines like that, which kind of hit on the very same notes in the song itself. And this walks into that note of love that just went away, something that between the two. But she sits on the back end, and even though the tears still fill her eyes, she blames herself. So dark, so empty, thanks to me. I've got to get myself together. Just so hard to do. So nicely done, Betty. Thank you. All right, Pam.
Yeah, I like that. As you said, it seems as if she kind of did a close to like a parody of the song, and really definitely caught the vibe of it. Hold on, let me just finish posting a comment. All right, so really strong, emotive, right? Really got into the whole vibe of the song. I love the imagery. You know, I scream to say, come home again. Why have you gone? Lonely streets, Pacific highways, I'm winding down. You know, I really like that idea of using the duality of the phrase winding down, like winding down the highways, but also kind of just trying to wind down in life. And, you know, I like how, and then there's kind of the split where all of a sudden she goes, sun's out again, blue skies above me, I'm low, just need some place where I can hide. I keep this to myself. I don't want no one else. You know, there's that idea to me of when, whether it's circumstance or whatever it is, you know, in this case, circumstance, the idea of lost love, of feeling lonely, that you want to keep that sadness to yourself. You don't want to have it be a burden to anybody else. And so these lines definitely have a strong emotional impact and are a great reflection on the chosen prompt. I also really like the line, so dark, so empty, thanks to me, I've got to get myself together. There's really this idea of putting such a burden of guilt upon yourself in those lines. So beautifully written and very well done. All right. And up next, I'm going to go ahead and play Long Train Running. And let me find that. I know it's here. Here we go.
Love.
I do like the sound of that one, especially how they lined up the whole rhythm of the song to sound like the train itself, like the train moving on the track and the train horn. I thought that was particularly cool.
All right, let's the first one.
All right. Well, you know, all right. Up next, we have Without Love by Will Rout. And go ahead, Rex, give that a read.
Without Love by Will Rout. Down upon the bayou, a million miles from here, you can see them gators slip on by where the water's full of fear. Without love, where should you be right now? I don't know. Without love, thought I saw a juicy, lavender-haired girl floating with a pole in hand, a river dark with souls. Without love, where is she going now? No, no, no. Without love, well, gotta catch her up. See me running along the shore. Can't stop me up a family, cause the gators want me more. Without love, oh, where do I go now? No, no, no. Without love, she's fading in the distance, cause the mangroves say no more, and the mist is clouding over her. I can't see her anymore. Without love, where do we go now? No, no, no. And two. Well, actually, that was a parody, so nicely done, Will. Thank you. And what do you think, Pam? Hello, Pam?
First of all, great sing there, Rex. Awesome. Loved the twang, the southern vibe that you put into that. You know, I liked this parody. It was spot on. I mean, it was a great take on the prompt. You know, I liked how he really got deep into the bayou. You know, like you could just picture everything that he's describing. And I don't like how there's that repetitive question of, you know, where would you be without love? Where should you be right now? Without love, where is she going now? No, no, no. You know, it keeps repeating that line, without love, and the idea of, you know, that there's so much of the world that falls apart, so much of our personal life that fall apart without love. I really liked the imagery in Thought I Saw a Juicy Lavender-Haired Girl Floating with a Pole in Hand, the River Dark with Swirls. And then the she's fading in the distance, cause the mangroves say no more, and the mist is clouding over her. You know, you just get the idea of this you know, you know, that beautiful, like, swamp witch who, or, you know, that woman that knows all about the different herbs and the medicines, and who kind of keeps to herself and is a bit of an enigma. So I thought this was just a wonderful story poem of telling that kind of tale. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I'm going to go with, this is somebody who lived out in the bayou in the swamps, dealing with the gators, the mangroves, and everything else, the big old frogs that you get down there. And he's caught within the heat a summer day and a bit of a dream notion, because he's not getting any, nothing else is coming at that point except seeing a gator here and there. But there is a point in the song, thought I saw a juicy lavender-haired girl floating with a pole in hand, the river dark with swirls. So you get that idea of reflective want in the moment. And then, well, gotta catch you up, see me run along the shore. Can't stop me up a family because the gators want me more. And without love, or where do I go now? And then fading in the distance because the mangroves say no more. Again, that note to the ethereality of the swamp itself, the bayou, where you can see things, you can find things, and there's other things that you might not know existed, but you find it in the swamp. So this walks more like that fever dream in the moment, and seeing something that catches his eye to the point where it comes to life. Nicely done, Will.
All right. Up next, we have Train Stroll by Rain 474. I'm not real 100% sure because he has the chorus at the very top. Do you think I'm supposed to read the chorus after every stanza or after every, say, third stanza? Or just once at the end? Or at the beginning? I'll just go with how he has it. All right. So Train Stroll by Rain 474. The showers of love pouring from above sweetens our nerve, so we reserve what we deserve. The visiting train shakes our brain, so we now train to see it gone again. A familiar face, one full with grace, chase in this race, bogies in coal ace, stoppage many, but it's funny, where I'm going, honey, isn't in this train's journey. Long running train, churning piston fame, pulling it on its lane, yet late in all its plan, over the mountain, in the subway terrain, nowhere it loses its chain to drop us down in the plains. Wheels going round and round, even below the ground, filling us with joy profound, for the journey is worth this pound. Whistle blow their sound, souls hear them around, eagerly waiting to be drowned as the lovers finally bound. End poem.
Great reading, Pam. All right, this is all about the journey. From one place to another, could be out of the big city into the rolling plains, or from the heart of bogland into some new territory. It doesn't matter which. It's all a matter of that train ride itself, the journey, the rattling hum of the wheels across the rails. You get that chum 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 as you hit the intersecting joints. So there's that nice lull of the journey itself. The trek forward and the notation to yes, we are going somewhere new, somewhere that we haven't been, over the mountain in the subway terrain, nowhere it loses its chain to drop us down in the plains. Again, that thought, it doesn't matter as long as you're going somewhere on that train and you're enjoying the ride into the mouth of your dreams. What about you?
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that it's really just, you know, like from what I hear in your comment, it's the idea of it's not so much the destination, it's the journey. I really like that first stanza with the visiting train shakes our brain. To me, because, you know, I live right next to train tracks and there are times the trains go by and it rattles the house. And you can just feel the vibrations. And that's what it makes me think of, is just being so close to the train tracks that you have to kind of just learn to tune it out. I also really like, as I said, what you had to say about the idea of those, like anytime a train or even any form of transportation, like when I used to live in a bigger city and there was, you know, the city bus, you just, you know, or even like Greyhound buses, you think about the idea of where that train or where that bus is going to and where those people are going to. And your mind kind of starts to dream about all the different places it can go. I like that he brings in the different environments, like over the mountain, in the subway terrain. The idea of how many different environments and the different ways that you come across trains, not only in modern days, but throughout history. You know, I thought this was a wonderful take on the prompt. I thought it was really a great tribute to the trains, to the way they connect to our dreams of of travel. And so excellent write and very well done.
All right, where are we going next?
All right, up next, I'm going to go ahead and I am going to play the song Take Me in Your Arms. And here we go. All right, up next we have The Little Things You Didn't Tell Me in the End by Eric Svensson. And we have a recording for that. So here we go.
those little things you didn't tell me in the end. From a king to a jack to a joker, poker face won't do, go gaga with regret futile. Woods in May, give me back my love. Roulette wheel, seven single spin. Yeah, right, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Karaoke, okie dokie, now I wait all night long. One arm band of seven singles, G&T's for all pain. A man's got a heart, if and if he's a macho medical officer. Forever last is forever, doesn't it always? Woods in May should amber paperback to you. Ruby red medical beret salutes rain down. Sing to beacon forest floor as a present reminder. Your precious lip licking ruby red grapefruit juice with such gratitude. Those little things you told me, incidental or accidental, military service brought out the best in us, all the worst. I nearly called Marshall while you skipped the country. Did you make it to New York, USA? Give me back my love. Waited so long to see your face. Maybe court martial would have been more merciful. I learned too late. Now I know how to take. Not that you're to blame. Those little things you told me, woods in May still whisper. Give me back my love. Now I have to know, as a friend, did you actually make it to New York, USA? Did Lady Liberty hold a torch high to welcome you? Poker face, stern face, king became a jack, became a joker. I still have your love letter to me, the military police presented. Wet, 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 woods in May on route march. Had to meet a man like you with an acute asthma attack to know what anti-apartheid conviction really meant. Silver wings upon my chest lost their luster. Medical officer under Hippocratic oath. In the end, those little things you didn't tell me remains open-ended. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful. I really liked the background music put with the words. You know, the funny thing is, or at least interesting to me, is the song he was inspired by was 3 minutes and 40 seconds long, and his poem reading was 3 minutes and 36 seconds long, which means he was only 4 seconds off from being the exact same length as the song, you know. I really liked his use of imagery and metaphors. I mean, from the very first line, from a king to a jack to a joker, poker face won't do, go gaga with regret futile. So, you know, even though he wrote the song we just heard before this, it kind of brings in the idea of playing the fool, like the joker representing the fool, but how instead of just the fool, we play different parts. This is another one that has a very personal feel to it, a very nostalgic vibe. I like how he delves into you know, time served in the military, and the lessons learned from that, and you know, and how, you know, some lessons are oftentimes learned too late. I nearly court-martialed while you skipped the country. Did you make it to New York, USA? Give me back my love. Waited so long to see your face. You know, I learned too late. Now I know how to take, now that you're to blame. You know, it's such a difficult thing when you feel this deep love for somebody and then they just move away. You know, you really, to me, I really feel the heart in this one. I really feel like, you know, the personal vibe to it. I like the question. Now I have to know as a friend. So it's that idea, you know, of knowing that the relationship is no longer what it used to be, but you would like it to be something. So I feel like that line is very important. Now I have to know as a friend, did you actually make it to New York, USA? Did Lady Liberty hold her torch high to welcome you? You know, and to me, those lines speak on the whole idea of, was it everything you dreamt it would be? Was it everything you imagined it would be? So really just a wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. From a king to a jack, the joker is important because he's lined up both sides of that. But there's also the note to seven. Seven single spins, one-armed bandit, seven singles. So that the seven representing good luck. Yes, it doesn't walk that way to finish with, because by the time you hit that that fourth stanza, forever lasted for never, doesn't it always? Woodson may shed amber paper bag tears. So the recollection there. And again, that next recollection is deeply erotic in its tone. Ruby red medical beret salutes rain down. Sink to fecund forest floor as a succinct reminder. Your precious lips licking ruby red grapefruit juice with such gratitude. And then he hits on the idea of desertion. Maybe it would have been he would have been more merciful to him if he had been court-martialed, but he almost was, and it was apparent that the other guy mentioned in this is since he skipped the country, my guess is he deserted the unit or whatever his unit was, since he was treating him initially for asthma. So it might have been somebody come across or somebody in his unit. Not quite sure on that one. And then on that second, King became a jack, became a joker. I still have your love letter to me, the military police presented. So that was held back. Maybe they were looking to see if they could get a hold of him. But the idea actually of, my guess is they were reading his mail, ingoing and outgoing, to see if there was something in there that could be taken to heart. But the idea would be the trip to New York, wondering, have you got there? Let me know what's going on. Now, the back end of this, he hits on that, to know what anti-apartheid conviction really meant. And then he finishes out with silver wings upon my chest, lost their luster. Medical officer on the Hippocratic Oath. So the silver wings upon his chest. He's got silver wings for something, some award. Losing their luster kind of hits on that notion of discontent in the moment, seeing things a little differently.
All right. And up next, I'm going to play the song, Taking It to the Streets. And here we go.
You don't know my kind of you.
cool music there.
Yep.
Oh, now you tell me to push stop. Yeah. You're like 5 seconds too late. So I'm guessing the instrumental music wasn't part of the song?
Well, we could have skipped that all that last minute as part of it, because taking it to the streets is the back end of the song.
Right, but we have a little extra time, and it sounded cool, too. Actually, you know what it reminded me of? It sounded like something, the band from the Muppet Show. It sounded like something the band from the Muppet Show would play. All right. Well, that's what popped into my head, so, you know. All right. Yes, Dr. Tooth. That's right, Pee-wee. All right. Up next, we have Time to Take It to the Streets by Blue Leader One. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
It's time to take it to the streets. I thirst. I hunger. I'm caged and burned. I'm afraid. It's cold and I'm alone. I weep like Rachel. Why is the world like this? You don't know me, but I'm your brother. The rich and powerful have their fill of everything, every comfort, every desire at their fingertips, while I crawl in filth, trying to survive. They keep telling me all the things they do for me. I gotta say, I don't see it, and if it's there, it ain't shit. Manipulation is what they know, and for sure a fool is born every minute. But I'm not blind, and the truth isn't hard to see. War, poverty, disease, and injustice trample the people while titans wrestle for dominion of the earth. I scurry between their legs, trying not to be crushed, and hide in a hole, scared. I want to remind the powerful, you may not know me, but I am your brother, and I don't like what I see. You want to know? Insult to injury. The rich and powerful loathe me. They despise me. They spit on me from the towers of their powers. They think they hate me because I'm poor. I'm untouchable because they're afraid of me. Oh, man, I don't care about harming you. I want bread, a home, and dignity. And these things cost a lot less than all the shit you do. Secret police, prisons, torture, politics. If the power spent a fraction of what they do on these to care, not harm, we'd all be free. This is how I feel. My soul is my own. I've not forgotten whose child I am, and I will be the peaceful child I was because the earth has been promised to me. And Paul. All right, Pam.
All right. Great read there, Rex. You know, I really like the social commentary in this one. I thought it was a strong write with the main message being to care about your fellow man. And the whole idea that the people who make the money make the laws, and sometimes the laws do more harm than good. You know, I really like that line by itself. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. That idea that to me that brings up that question, you know, asked in the Bible, who is my neighbor? And, you know, it's not always the person that our neighbor is basically everyone and anyone that lives on this earth. You know, I really did also like the lines, it's cold and I'm alone, I weep like Rachel. Why is this world like this? There's such a sense of a heavy burden. I also really like war, poverty, disease, and injustice trample the people while titans wrestle for dominion of the earth. I scurry between their legs, trying not to be crushed and hide in a hole, scared. I like the imagery and the metaphor, the idea of the rich and powerful and the godlike, whether it's, you know, the rich and powerful through, you know, money or through organized religion. Wrestling for dominion while the common man is, the, you know, likened to a ant running around. So just a strong right all the way through, heartfelt and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. This is what the PTBs are really afraid of, an ever-awakening tide of people who understand the reality they are embroiled within. The idea of still holding that notion of the meek shall inherit the earth, that's fine. But yes, there comes a time to stand and deliver. And that crowd of people is ever broadening in its mass. I mean, it isn't just here. It's all across the world. And I know most people don't get to see it because our media refuses to show us what's really going on in France, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, England, Australia, and everywhere else where the people are out on the streets wanting something better than what's being delivered. So, nicely done, Blue. I like that.
And great comment there, Rex. And up next, I'm going to go ahead and play the song Minute by Minute. And let me find it. And here we go. All right. Great song there. And up next, we have Step by Step, Poetry by Poetry Cures My Soul. And it goes like this. Love does not control me year by year, neither does it escort me day by day. But step by step, my passion unfolds. With enthusiasm, it directs my way. When tomorrow comes my way, my love shall exceed with much care, flowering my heart with extreme desire, as day is not good enough to bear. Love doesn't control me year by year, neither does it escort me day by day. Yet from my actions, our door expands pleasantly without being led astray. Step by step, I move towards love securing. Love is unique, mature, and reassuring. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And nicely done, Poetry Cures My Soul, who came in as Alfred Lasalo. So you've got both those on the board for reads. Anyway, this is a nicely done sonnet. And I like where you took this, the thought of not letting love control year by year, day by day, but letting that passion unfold so it actually delivers you on a straight path, so to speak. The idea is letting it blossom, flower in my heart with extreme desire, as today is not good enough to bear. Gives me the idea that tomorrow sings in new notes. And then to finish out, step by step, I move towards love securing. Love is unique, mature, and reassuring. And it's on that note of walking past the age of youth and understanding some things have to be handled and walked in a particular direction. Otherwise, it doesn't last. Nicely done there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really like this one. First of all, it was a beautifully written sonnet. I like that he did the sonnet format, but yet with the modern language that I thought worked really well. I like how this is about the new ways to see love, seeing that it's something that is shown through action. You know, I like where it says, yet from my actions our door expands pleasantly without being led astray. You know, how actions really speak volumes. And when tomorrow comes my way, my love shall exceed with much care. There's this whole idea of putting work and care into love rather than just thinking that, you know, rather than having a flippant type attitude about it. So excellent write and very well done. And up next, I'm going to go ahead and play the song Jesus Is Just All Right With Me. And here we go.
Just all right.
All right. Did you catch Dancing Jesus there in L&P, Rex?
Yeah, I just saw it.
All right. Up next, we have Sheila by Pee Wee Cousin. And Rex, go ahead.
Parody number one, Sheila. Sheila's just too tight for me. Sheila's just too tight. Oh no, I don't know who she may do. I don't care how she may blow. I don't care who she may do. Sheila's just too tight. Oh no, Sheila's just too tight. Oh no, Sheila is a tramp. Sheila is a tramp. She took me by the land, jerked it with her hand. Sheila is a tramp. Sheila's just too tight for me. Sheila's just too tight. Oh no, I don't care who she may do. I don't care how she may blow. I don't care who she may do. Sheila's just too tight. Oh no, Sheila's just too tight. Oh yeah. And boom.
Awesome singing there, Rex. And very cool parody by Pee Wee. I have to say that he actually had mentioned that this was his first parody he's ever written. So I think for a first parody, it was definitely spot on. Love, of course, you know, I'm always a big fan of sick and twisted humor. You know, great choice of a repetitive line. I really got into you singing that. That was so, especially when you have opened up with the doo-doo-doos in the beginning. I really like Sheila is a tramp. Sheila is a tramp. She took me by the gland, jerked it with her hand. That could almost be rapped. Oh, man. But I tell you, good stuff. Good stuff. You know, it just, it has the kind of humor that a parody should be. Fun and twisted. Very well done.
Yeah, there's a tone to Weird Al Yankovic that sits within this piece. Remember, like, him doing Like a Virgin and some other funky takes back in the day. I think he'd enjoy this.
Oh, definitely. I have to agree with you. Did enjoy that whole Al Yankovic vibe. So good stuff. All right. Well, with only 4 minutes left, I am going to have to skip the last song. And I'll put up one more poem for us, and that is The Doobie's Lesser Known Brother by Bill Schiller. And it goes like this. Along banks of Mississippi River by Cairo, Illinois, I often sat alone in shivering winds, drinking whiskey through night. I was a kid with little hope and less in way of future prospects, with my whiskey cup and doobie blunt. I was a buzzing malcontent. Oh, black water, see me drowning. I've got to get away from this river town and roll on. Mississippi River, please stop calling. Black waters are rolling, but I'm crawling. I could trade black for blue waters where river rats never play. Yet my tenacious temperance came with taste of talented temerity. I was offered opportunity with government and foreign sea, so I fled from waters beside Cairo, Illinois, less man, more as a boy. The cerulean Caribbean sea is clean and serene as one may enjoy, so much better than I deserve, it seemed to me. I still reveled in booze and doobies, but now beneath palm trees, I grooved to calypso, dined on curry chicken with coconut cream. Like the mole on Marilyn Monroe's face, I basked in all the beauty. Old blue waters keep me floating. I don't care what's coming. I won't be going. I achieved success, was known by all the nation's residents. The bourbon and grass got so bad it needed circumvent. Like bug looking at windshield, I was destined to crash. I got so lost, I couldn't last in my flaws. Unlike Cairo, Illinois, the country had different laws. Among authorities, functions are testing for consumption without violating any other crime, nor having one conviction. There was wide suspicion I was mired in addiction, required to submit to urinary tests. They discovered more than coconut. I experienced arrest. Oh, black water, I used your rolling. I should have gone homing back to you, where Mississippi's moon shine on me. And soon enough, I set back across the sea. I continued in my career, got sober on coffee and tea. I ventured through America and nations as work had me bound. Now I'm cleaner than hospital bedsheet. I put away the doobies, keep my feet on the solid ground. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. I like the bite humor in this. With my whiskey cup and doobie blunt, I was a buzzing malcontent. And oh, black water, see me drowning. I've got to get away from this river town and roll on the city river. Please stop calling. Black waters are rolling, but I'm crawling. I have a note to just dipping into into what's going on. And then that thought, the opportunity with the government, the foreign sea, nice. Now he's in the Caribbean, palm trees, white sand, and still getting baked and boozed, but now beneath palm trees. I like that thought. And then the idea of having been tested for use, getting popped, and then coming back home. Have that note of the Mississippi moon calling to return again. And that then to finish out and still continue with his career, got sober on coffee and tea. And I like that thought. Now I'm cleaner than a hospital bed sheet. Oof. I put away the doobies, keep my feet on solid ground. I like to finish on that. Nicely done, Bill. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to say great show tonight, Rex. You know, I really enjoy this one. I have to agree with you. Wonderful bite and humor. I actually put it on my amazing rights list because I think it's one of my absolute favorites so far by Bill. And I do like all his poetry, but, you know, there was just something about this one, that nostalgic feel, that bite, that humor, even the title is humorous. I like how, you know, he takes us back to the idea of traveling and the idea of living that life of doobies and drinking, and then the cleaning up at the end. There was a really nice flow to the words. I particularly liked that stanza that had, I got so lost, I couldn't last my flaws. Unlike Cairo, Illinois, the country had different laws. And then he brings in, you know, the idea, you know, getting into earlier, he was like, and getting into the calypso music and the chicken curry. And I mean, there was just a lot of really great details in this rite that I really appreciated, how it was really an adventure of the spirit and of the mind. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam. Great show. Peavy, thank you for the board. Much appreciated. And next week, we're digging into some deep purple. So that's already up and rolling. Check it out. Got a bunch of songs on the board, or you pick something else in the catalog. That's entirely up to you. And then check into Halloween week. We've got quite the playlist. Every night's a bit of Halloween. So come on, join in, and we'll see you all next week.